Good morning. It is 8:41, Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Meredith, Nick Isher. Tyler has a couple of days off. Thanks for being with us here this morning. Well, the NHL season, like everything else, got cut short, and the Nashville Predators are in the midst of quite a run over the last three or four seasons. The play-by-play voice of the Predators, a Galesburg native. He's worked here at WGIL as well, and he joins us here this morning, Pete Weber. Pete, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Tom. Doing absolutely great, and I think it's very fitting that on this day, with some big Galesburg birthdays, I am on with you. Mike White was the first from my year to join WGIL. He has a birthday today. Some guy named Jim Sundberg, who caught a few games in the big leagues, his birthday today.
I've heard of him.
If you ever get shoes from Ted Grothy, Ted Grothy Jr. has a birthday today as well.
Wow. And I knew Mike was celebrating his birthday today. I saw a post I think his son Mick had put on Facebook. So happy birthday to all Jim Sundberg, Ted Grothy, and also, of course, to Jim Sundberg. That's pretty well. It's always nice to be remembered. That's for sure. Pete, let's talk about kind of your the state you're in right now. I mean, your season got cut short, and you would have been what in the midst of the or at least early stages of the playoffs at this point.
Probably, looking at the calendar now, probably either going right to the end of round two toward the conference final. You know, hopefully, you have no idea, obviously. It's all theoretical. But it's hard to believe that my last game that I did was on March the 10th. We were in Toronto watching Sportsnet there when all of a sudden Rudy Gobert was diagnosed with it in the NBA. And then it seemed like within moments the NBA hit the pause button on their schedule too. And we knew at that point there was no question that at some time in the near future, the NHL would do the same. And while we were on the road, the Southeastern Conference basketball tournament was being played at our building here in Nashville. And they played two games, and then they called it quits. So things shut down very, very quickly.
So at that point, were you just like, okay, guys, we're getting on the plane, we're heading back, and go shelter in place?
Exactly. And then we found out that my friend John Forslund from NBC Sportsnet and the Carolina Hurricanes, he had the misfortune to be the next guy in the hotel room in Detroit that Rudy Gobert had just occupied. So he had to go into isolation for 2 weeks. John Kelly, television voice of the St. Louis Blues, they're on the West Coast. He picks it up. He got out of the hospital after about 3 or 4 days. And then Gord Wilson, the color commentator on radio for the Ottawa Senators, he was really laid up for a while, and now he's donating plasma to be used for a possible antidote to COVID-19.
Wow. So, yeah, it's amazing how quickly it spreads. And, yeah, that contact, and obviously the players, a ton of contact, both as teammates and while you're playing the game. And even, like you said, in the broadcast booth and, yeah, being in a hotel room where somebody's already stayed. You just never know.
You never know at all. And we were preparing. We were going to play that Saturday night before everything was shut down in Columbus. And they already had announced, the Ohio governor had said, that you can have the game but no fans. So we were in the hotel lobby in Toronto, and Ryan Johansson goes, "Hey, Pete, I'm going to be able to hear everything you say up there." I said, "Guess what, Ryan? I'm going to be able to hear everything you say down there. So maybe we ought to turn the microphones down a little bit."
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's the part that people don't think about, having the games with no fans. There's a lot that the mics for crowd noise and everything pick up that, they probably wouldn't have to be able to have those turned on, whether it's an NBA game, NHL, baseball, whatever the case may be. Pete Weber joining us here this morning.
Over the din of the crowd.
Yes, absolutely. Pete Weber joining us. He's the play-by-play voice of the Nashville Predators of the AHL. So since March, how have you been occupying your time?
I do guest stints like this. I've probably done 40 of these.
Oh, wow.
I've been on 30 podcasts. I do a regular thing on NHL Network Radio on the satellite service. And so I've kept rather busy. And on every Friday, for Predator season ticket holders, we do a Zoom interview with either a past or a current Predators player. And those have been very well received. And we have regular office meetings. It takes a lot of people to put on an NHL team. We have 300 staff members who are still standing by at the ready. And we have Zoom meetings usually on Tuesday afternoons.
Wow. So you are keeping busy, obviously.
Yes. Yes. Well, plus, cleaning out the garage, Tom, coming up with all sorts of treasures.
All the fun stuff. The fun stuff. Pete Weber, he's the play-by-play voice of the Nashville Predators, a Galesburg native. And do you have anything regular radio or TV locally that you do other than the play-by-play for the Predators?
No, not now. I did a few years ago, and I found out that I needed to sleep a lot more than what I was doing. I was doing afternoon drive on our flagship station. Matter of fact, going into the lockout of 2004-2005 when we lost the whole season. And coming back from that, I decided I was going to stick with the play-by-play, and we did a weekly one-hour Predators radio show that I produced and hosted. So I did that show for about 9 years. So there have been other things, but now it's nice as you get older to specialize.
Well, yeah, because that's a lot, especially in a market that size, doing an afternoon drive. There, the boatload of work goes into that on top of all the work you're having to do to prep for games.
Right, right. And, you know, and we, of course, this is football country, right? So it was, and there were some funny appearances that I had with then football coach, University of Tennessee, Philip Fulmer, whom my mother-in-law, who lived in Knoxville, thought that I looked exactly like him. So we would do appearances, and we'd try to have people, okay, which one's the football coach? Which one is the radio guy?
Oh, that's pretty funny. Well, when they hear you talk, they know, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Pete Weber, play-by-play voice of the Nashville Predators, joining us here this morning. Well, Pete, man, the Predators, what a run they've had, especially looking at the last 3 or 4 years or better. It's had to have been a lot of fun for you to see what they've done. Got to the finals, lost to the Pens, didn't get it done there, but just being in the playoffs, you've had some exciting times the last several years.
I really have, Tom, and thank you for that. And, you know, that run in 2017 and then the runs on either side of it actually were something special, particularly because I was lucky enough to be here when the franchise was birthed, when they played their first games in the fall of 1998. And to see how far they came from a club that took players the other 26 teams didn't want and try to build from that. It was a little bit different structure then for expansion teams in this league than it was for Las Vegas. But then again, Las Vegas paid $500 million to get into the club. So they gave them much looser restrictions on bringing new players in.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about being there from the start of the franchise. What was the public reception like? Because like you said, you're in football country, but you're also in a city with a whole bunch of transplants from all over the country and all over the world.
Yes. Yes. And I think that my experiences with the Los Angeles Kings helped a great deal. When the Kings started, now I wasn't there for their start in 1967, but I got there 11 years later. We found out that Jack Kent Cooke was the founding owner of the Kings and then owned the Lakers and built the Forum. He said he thought he had a good chance of making it with that team because he had researched there were 300,000 Canadian expatriates living in Southern California. And then it turns out they weren't buying a lot of tickets. So as only Jack Kent Cooke could say, I found out that they moved to California because they hated hockey. So I'm going to have to sell the tickets to somebody else. Well, they certainly worked out. They got their two cups in 3 years in 2012 and 2014. And that whole thing there, the whole experience there, working with Bob Miller, who just retired, Bob and I, when we did television, it was a simulcast, 25 games a year out of the total schedule of 82 games. And that helped me because when we came here, 12 of our first 13 years here, our games were simulcast too. So you have to make sure you take care of the radio audience in addition to those folks on television.
Yeah, and I don't think maybe people don't necessarily understand the difference, but if you listen to radio play-by-play, we're literally describing, you know, trying to give you a word picture of everything happening on TV. You don't have to do that because you got the picture. So that's a rather interesting dynamic, having both going at the same time.
Yeah, you're a captioning service on television.
Right.
And the best, I think, that of all time is, even though I grew up worshiping Harry Carey, was Vin Scully, who just retired 3 years ago. But it was great to listen to Vin again last night at MLB Network, replaying Sandy Koufax's complete game victory in Game 7 of the 65 series over the Twins.
Yeah, we were talking off the air. They were both up way late, way too late last night. You were watching that. I was watching the Last Dance with the Bulls. You know, you mentioned that time in L.A. with the Kings. It helped a lot when because it kind of reminded me of the Last Dance with Michael Jordan and what he did for the city of Chicago and basketball. You had the great one, Wayne Gretzky, kind of did that for the Kings in L.A. after Edmonton.
Yes, he did it.
Yeah.
He certainly did that. That trade in August of 88. Well, I wouldn't be talking to you from Nashville right now if that trade had not been made. I'm firmly convinced about that.
Really?
That enabled, yeah, that showed people that hockey can go in the Sun Belt. It was Gretzky's success with the Kings that led to the birth of the Anaheim Ducks, led to the San Jose Sharks, and as the Ducks were born, so too were born the Florida Panthers, and a year before that, the Tampa Bay Lightning. So the Dallas Stars moved from Minnesota in 93, so all of those were sort of, not really sort of trickle-down, definitely trickle-down effects from Wayne Gretzky essentially internationalizing the game.
Wow. And when did Phoenix come into the picture?
Phoenix was a move from Winnipeg.
Okay.
In 1996. And then Colorado came in when the finances didn't work out, and believe it or not, Quebec City. And they moved out there the following year, or the previous year, and then won the Cup in their first year in Denver.
Well, that's what's interesting, as you mentioned, how huge hockey is in Canada, but teams that actually moved from Canada to the Sun Belt of all places.
Exactly. And I tell you, the only problem the Coyotes have had, and you know, I worked in real estate for a little bit, so it's location, location, location. Where they ended up with their new building is still an area that needs to be grown around by the greater metropolitan Phoenix area. So right now, most people have a minimum 45-minute drive one way to go out to the rink in Glendale. Now, that's a different case for the football Cardinals, who, you know, it's 10 dates a year. So doing that 10 dates a year versus 41, I think, is a bigger ask.
Pete Weber is a play-by-play voice of the Nashville Predators from day one of that franchise, a Galesburg native, joining us here this morning. Well, kind of going back to the start of the franchise in Nashville, a little, even though, you know, you're talking about the Sun Belt, but it's still a little bit different type of city than a Dallas or a Phoenix. So what was the reaction like? I mean, were you, number one, were you playing in Bridgestone Arena, or if that was the name of it at the time, was that there, and were you filling it up right off the bat?
It had opened in December of 96, late December 96, and we started in the fall of 98. Now, there had been, and there was up until the time the Predators started, minor league hockey in this town going back to the early 1960s. And then what really seeded the clouds, I think, for success here were all the auto workers from Michigan who moved down to work in either the Nissan or the Saturn plants just around Nashville. So there were all these Red Wing fans we had to convert, and that was an interesting process. But, hey, the first night, here you had a sold-out crowd and a standing ovation before the first face-off. I should send you that sound, what that was like that
night. Wow.
At that point in time, it was called Nashville Arena, and virtually every sporting venue now has undergone name changes. I think Nashville Arena, Gaylord Entertainment Center, we also had the Somme Center, and now it's been Bridgestone Arena for about 8 years.
Pete Weber, play-by-play voice of the Nashville Predators, joining us here this morning. All right, well, Pete, let's talk about what you know as far as or what the expectations are. Are they going to, in any way, shape, or form, continue, end this season, playoffs, or anything for the 2019-2020 season?
They definitely want to. There is a huge conference call coming up this afternoon with league governors. That will be at 2:00 Central Time. We'll see how long that lasts. There are any number of proposals put forward, but they are still dependent upon local governments and the Center for Disease Control as to how and what and when they can do it. So that's going to be very intriguing to watch. I know there are so many fans who have already talked to me and said they're a little bit wary about coming back and worrying it might be too soon. But if the one timetable I've read, and again, there is nothing concrete at this point in time, we can't chisel anything in, but is the idea that since the Summer Olympic Games were delayed a year, NBC's programming airwaves will be open up from July 24th onward, and maybe something happens in that time frame.
Interesting. Well, and I'm just the opposite. I've talked with friends of mine. I've said it on the air here. If the Cardinals were playing tomorrow, I would be at the game. I'm not worried about it. I'm just ready for things like that to be happening. I don't care what it is. NASCAR, not necessarily, but yeah, if it was hockey, basketball, baseball, I would be there.
It's been interesting to watch the Korean baseball.
Yes.
That ESPN has picked up and see what that's like. And the curious thing for me that first week was they had cheerleaders and nobody to lead in cheers in the stands.
Yeah, that is interesting. That is interesting. Pete Weber is the play-by-play voice of the Nashville Predators joining us here this morning. And how about expectations? Obviously, as we talked about just a bit ago, the great run that the Predators have been on, which is not easy to do in hockey because of the salary cap and everything. And sometimes a year good, a year off with all that. But it seems like they've been pretty consistent. What are your expectations for the upcoming season?
Well, it's going to be... Yeah, it's a restart, so I think everybody will be even. All the players, or most of them anyway, and the Predators, fortunately for them, didn't have anybody in this category, but the other teams that had injured players out for a period of time, most likely all of them, other than those who had surgery, will be eligible and able to return. So that's going to change things around a little bit. The fact that the Preds won 6 of 9 before the pause button was hit isn't going to help them right now, or is it going to hurt anybody who was in a bad losing streak at that point. So I want to see what system they ultimately decide to adopt. They've talked about having as many as 24 teams in a tournament to determine the Stanley Cup winner. I'm very curious to see what they decide to do and what the calendar will allow. They're not afraid of starting the following NHL season as late as November, maybe even December, and then taking out bye weeks and things like that.
And what happens with this time in between? Is it going to be the same as any other offseason? There's going to be a lot of moves, a lot of free agents, a lot of trades.
They have to readjust their calendar of important dates.
Yeah.
Because a lot of coaching and management contracts run out on the 30th of June. Might not play till after that. They also may determine at that governor's meeting today if they go ahead and have an NHL draft for the first time before the regular season is completed. So the draft slotting would be determined by 0.1 percentage with the time the schedule stopped. So that's going to be intriguing also. And how many teams will they put into that postseason tournament? And much of that will have to be dependent upon when they can get back to the calendar again. And I tell you, every sport has been this way. You talk about going through blank calendar sheets and trying to figure out what you can do and when, and that is a headache.
No, I bet. I can only imagine. Pete Weber, the play-by-play voice of the Nashville Predators, he's a Galesburg native, worked here at one time here at WGIL. Pete, always appreciate you taking some time with us, and hopefully you'll be able to get back doing what it is you love to do and see the Predators do well again.
Tom, great to talk to you. Thank you for having me on.